May Christ be present in my words and in your hearing, and may you be made strong with the strength that comes from Christ. My youngest son, who is 14, he's a ninth grader, I had an interesting assignment recently. They've been studying the ancient Chinese Empire in the before the Common Era time, which I think is fantastic because I only ever studied like Greek and Roman ancient history. I never got much of the world history. So they've been looking at the ancient philosophies of legalism, Confucianism, and Taoism. And their paper, their final paper for this section was, if you were an emperor in ancient China, which of these philosophies would you rule by and why? I don't really remember exactly how my son, you know, combined a couple of these philosophies, but I do know that in the paper, he fashioned himself a benevolent dictator. Thought he would do a quite fine job as the emperor of China. I think that many of us harbor some desire to be benevolent monarchs. The feeling that if we could just be in charge of the world, we'd make everything better. We could address injustice. We could distribute resources fairly if they would just give us a chance to be in charge for a while. And on this day that we call Christ the King, or also the reign of Christ, recognizing that the kingdom of Christ is not any place, but is a reign, is an active part of our world. Reign of Christ Sunday, we may also harbor a secret wish that Christ would just rise up and be such a benevolent dictator. Fix the problems in the world, bring justice and peace for everyone, and just make everyone act right for heaven's sake. And so it's a shock on this day when we're lifting up Christ as King, the one who reigns over heaven and earth, that our story takes us to the cross. We stand again at the foot of the cross, where Jesus was crucified with two criminals on either side of him. And at the top of the cross is the inscription stating his crime. This is the King of the Jews. Here we see the work of an oppressive, occupying empire. We see a spectacle set up by Pilate to say, King of the Jews, look how pathetic this guy is. Look how pathetic the Jewish notion of kingship and autonomy is. We listen as the soldiers and the passers-by mock him. If you are a king, use your power to save yourself. If you are the Messiah, save yourself. We face once again that offensive truth, what Paul called the stumbling block to the gospel, that Jesus, the Messiah, was executed as a common criminal. The reading from Colossians then adds to our sense of disconnect because it gives us a very different picture of Christ as King. Being very firm with this thing, Steve. There we go. All right. Christ as King. Here is where we expect, what we expect to read on Christ the King Sunday, right? This is what we're waiting for. Here we find Christ the divine, the one in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Isn't that a lovely statement? The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in this human person of Jesus. This is Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. Now there's Christ the King. This is Christ who has redeemed the whole creation. Christ, who rules as the head of the church, which is the body of Christ in the world. And so we see these two pictures side by side, and we wonder which one is real. Which one is really Jesus, the divine creative force and redeemer of the world, or the wandering human who healed the sick and fed the poor and welcomed the outcast, and whose freedom of love offended people so much that he was killed? The answer, of course, is yes. They are both truly Christ. And that is the wonder of the incarnation, that the one who was present with God at the beginning, the source of wisdom through whom all things were made, will also be a baby, a young man speaking in a temple, a man breaking Sabbath law and speaking to women he's not supposed to talk to, and eventually getting arrested and killed. Now, some people are uncomfortable with this image of Christ as the king who rules in power. And indeed, this whole idea of Christ the King Sunday sits uncomfortably with many. It feels too close to giving Christ the power of empire. And we've all seen how well that went over for centuries. That power over others, favored by human rulers and leaders in all sorts of governments. It sounds too much like the Christians who proclaim the prosperity gospel, that to follow Christ ensures wealth and status and all good things in life and everything fine forever and ever. But this is just the sort of power that Jesus rejected when he went to the cross. Both images are part of who Christ is for us. And I learned this week that Christ the King Sunday was originally created in 1925 by Pope Pius XI to resist the nationalism that was rising in Europe after World War I. It is a day to remind us, as faithful Christian people, that our first loyalty is to be not to our nation, or our workplace, or our class, or our race, but to Christ. And so the day serves as a corrective to our urge to claim that Christ belongs to us alone, that Christ is on our side over and against other nations or other peoples. The day itself resists Christian nationalism, because it seeks to remind us that Christ and our loyalty to Christ is beyond the bounds of nation, class, race, or any ideology. In this way, Christ the King Sunday itself becomes an image of resistance, an invitation to renew our loyalty to God over and against all earthly loyalty. So here we have the good news. We are not in charge, because we all have limited vision and a tendency to turn in on ourselves and someone that we would choose to leave out in the cold. But God's vision of love incarnate in the person of Jesus has no limits. It includes all, welcomes all, has mercy on all. This is an image of God's holy mountain from the scripture from Isaiah by an amazing artist named Richard Swanson, who illustrates many stories and concepts from the Bible. Many of you know that often when I visit in a home or a hospital, I like to read Psalm 121 before I pray. I've come to think of it as a particularly Albuquerque psalm, a little protective of my psalm there. Because I, for one, can and do lift up my eyes to the sandias each day and know that God is with us. This psalm says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I was recently visiting with a church member in the hospital, and we prayed this psalm. And then they said, "It's wonderful to think that the God who made the mountains and the sky and everything is thinking of me and cares for me now." And there it is, the reign of Christ in a nutshell. The presence of God who creates the universe with all its wonders and yet is humble enough to enter a hospital room and comfort a patient, to walk alongside someone who does not know the way forward, to sit in stillness with someone who is struggling with addiction, to hold close someone who is grieving beyond words. This is Christ, whose reign is not a place on earth nor a time in history, but is an eternal present and presence in the world and beyond it. The reign of Christ is among us and beyond our imagining. The reign of Christ is the full realization of God's vision of shalom, peace, wholeness and well-being for all of creation. So we do well to remember today, God is God and I am not, and thanks be to God. And we pray today, Jesus, remember me, remember us, and give us the courage and grace to follow you loyally and with our full selves. Amen.